It's time to eat.
Get in my belly.
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Ross Tucker and Evan Silva.
Me so hungry.
On the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby. It is week 7 Fantasy Feast part 2. So nice we do it twice. Again, it's in two parts. A, it makes it a little easier for you guys to consume rather than well over an hour for one podcast. Two, it's a sponsor thing. It's a long story. I'll probably stop saying it. We'll just start doing two parts pretty much every week unless we can get that changed. But for right now, we can't. We got a few more games to dive into, certainly. We'll summarize Evan's quarterback streamers, defensive streamers for week 7 in the NFL. And today's part 2 is presented by Draft. Have you guys heard about this? It's an awesome app that you can get in the App Store, and it will come up first. When you pull up Draft in the App Store, make sure you enter the promo code FEAST, and you'll get a 100% bonus when you deposit. I got Draft app on my phone yesterday. Once I found out about it, very, very cool. It's simple snake drafts, like the ones you do at the beginning of your season long league, except you can do them whenever you want. I mean, it's 1 week fantasy football, only takes minutes to complete, but it's not salary cap 1 week fantasy football. It's just a snake draft, which is pretty cool. Plus, your odds are almost 200% better of winning when you play over a draft. The key, though, is to get the app on your phone and check it out. Just search Draft in the App Store. It'll come up first. Enter the promo code FEAST so you get a 100% bonus when you deposit. Again, search Draft in the App Store and be sure to enter the promo code FEAST. All right, Evan, let's start part 2 looking at the late afternoon games on Sunday. We'll start San Diego and Atlanta. I think a lot of people are expecting a lot of points, a lot of fireworks in this one. Is that what you're thinking?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm not really sure. I haven't decided how I think that the game is going to go yet, though. I know that one of my buddies who bets on games and is really, really good at it, he saw this game open at a 51-point total and just pounded the over. And the over has already moved up, or the total has already moved up, I think, to like 53 or 53.5. So like the line was set incorrectly, and a bunch of people who put a lot of money on this kind of thing, I identified that and just jumped on it right away. I don't know exactly how I think the game is going to flow, though. I mean, you could sort of see it being a Melvin Gordon game to some extent, where he gets in the paint a couple of times, or Devonta Freeman, Tevin Coleman sort of game, or a Julio game. Or a Tyrell Williams, Travis Benjamin, Hunter Henry game. I'm not really sure how to pinpoint plays in this game. I just think that pretty much everyone is a good fantasy play. I mean, pretty much everyone has a good matchup. The game is fully expected to be high scoring. I think that the people maybe who win in daily fantasy this week will have accurately identified who goes off in this game and stayed away from the people that kind of disappoint, because there will be a couple of people who disappoint in this game. And I'm not sure yet who I think will have an especially big game. But you can read my column on RotoWorld because I will have decided by then. I think just at first glance, I think Tyrell Williams could have a big game against Atlanta. Just a first glance.
I like it. Let's keep it rolling. And let's go to another late game. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the San Francisco 49ers. I guess the most interesting thing to me here, Evan, would just be Kaepernick and what, if any, impact he has for you in any fantasy format or for any of the other skill guys.
Well, the Buccaneers are usually a defense that we like to target for opposing quarterbacks. Colin Kaepernick was okay in fantasy last week. I think his real game performance wasn't great, and I think that will continue to be the case. I mean, that was the case with Blaine Gabbert. Blaine Gabbert actually had some good fantasy games. When he was benched, he was the overall quarterback 17, which doesn't sound like a lot, but he finished as a top 10 fantasy quarterback against the Panthers. He had another top 10 fantasy quarterback finish. You know, if the quarterback is running, that's going to raise their floor and raise their upside. So if you're looking for a quarterback streamer, I think that you could do a lot worse than Colin Kaepernick, even though he isn't very good at football. We saw him make a play with Torrey Smith. I think that week to week, Torrey Smith is still going to be very, very, very much boom or bust. It is a good matchup for Torrey Smith, though. So if you want to use Torrey Smith, you know, not now is the time. Jeremy Curley was a predictable disaster. I think that he'll, you know, maybe mix in some decent games along the way with Cap, but Cap's skill set just does not mesh well with like an underneath slot receiver. Curley still had like 7 targets, 2 catches for 12 yards or something like that. I mean, Jeremy Curley's not a guy I want to rely on in fantasy at all, and I would not be opposed to dropping him in a season-long league. At running back, Carlos Hyde showed up in a sling on Tuesday at the 49ers facility, and I don't know if he's going to play. His backup right now is Mike Davis, he had one awesome game in the preseason, and then he had another one where I think he fumbled like twice. He showed some juice in his first preseason game. I think it was the preseason opener. And the matchup isn't great against Tampa Bay by any means, but Chip Kelly loves riding the running game, so Mike Davis would get work. Sean Drone would also see some work in the passing game. And I think that pretty much does it for San Francisco. On Tampa Bay's side, the big news is Vincent Jackson out. So last year when Vincent Jackson was out because he missed 6 games last year. Yeah, I think 6 games Vincent Jackson missed. And Mike Evans' average targets per game went from 8 to almost 14. So Mike Evans is a guy that I would want to lean on heavily in daily fantasy. This week I'm going to lean on heavily. He's actually still underpriced in daily fantasy for a guy who is leading the NFL in targets even before this. And there's no way the 49ers are going to be able to stop him. Doug Martin, we don't. Oh, and that also raises the expectations for Adam Humphries, and the slot receiver Adam Humphries. The 49ers have been getting killed in the slot, been getting killed everywhere, but especially in the slot. And Cameron Brate also is a guy who, I mean, like if you need a tight end and you see Cameron Brate on the waiver wire, that's the guy that you need to grab. I think for this week, I'm going to end up deciding in daily fantasy probably between paying down between Cameron Brate and Jack Doyle, or paying up for Rob Gronkowski against Pittsburgh. And I think right now I'm leaning toward paying down and paying up for some of the stud receivers and DeMarco Murray. But we'll see how that shakes out. And then I don't know about Doug Martin. Apparently he was supposed to be back this week, but the beat writers that I read on Twitter and read their articles, they have not seemed so convinced. So we, you know, this is something that we'll have to just, we'll have to monitor the news. If Doug Martin isn't ready, Jacquizz Rodgers is the next man up. We saw the Buccaneers ride him hard again in that Carolina game, even though he averaged like 3 yards per carry. I mean, they did not care. I think he had like 35 touches. I mean, that was pretty amazing. And the 49ers are a complete sieve in run defense. You know, you can question Jacquizz Rodgers' talent, but Fozzie Whitaker had 16 carries for 100 yards against the 49ers. So if no Doug Martin, Jacquizz Rodgers is a plug-and-play second running back with upside in fantasy.
What are you telling people, Evan, that have Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown as the Steelers and Landry Jones take on the New England Patriots?
Yeah, so I was at a wedding on Sunday, and then I drove back on Monday, and so I'm a little bit behind, and I really haven't dove in to all of the 4 p.m. and later games so far. You know, usually, I mean, if I had all of Monday, I would be able to spit a bunch of stats at you on what, you know, Landry Jones did last year. I'm not that advanced right now at this stage of the week. But I mean, you know, just at first glance, I would say you need to lower the expectations across the board of everyone in the Steelers offense. You're still starting Antonio Brown, you know, and kind of crossing your fingers. Le'Veon Bell should be fine, because he's just going to get a ton of work. I mean, we saw, you remember what Bruce Arians did when he had Drew Stanton in there at quarterback. It was the David Johnson show, and I would expect that to be the case against for Le'Veon against the Patriots. I will be very interested to see, you know, how does Belichick do this? Because, you know, if I was Bill Belichick, I would identify Le'Veon Bell as the most dangerous weapon in the Steelers offense, especially with Landry Jones at quarterback, which kind of limits AB. So I would do whatever I could to take away Le'Veon Bell. And I kind of think back to that Super Bowl where the Patriots kind of eliminated Marshall Faulk. And so I wonder, you know, I wonder how they'll do this. I think it'll be interesting to see. Landry Jones is abysmal. I mean, he's a guy who plays a ton in the preseason and is so bad that we can't even use him in preseason DFS. When you're playing preseason DFS, pretty much what you want is just guys who are, you know, are going to get a lot of playing time. And Landry Jones always does that, but he's horrible. I mean, you actually use the preseason DFS defense against Landry Jones in the preseason because he's that bad. So Patriots defense, tee him up, man. Fire him up this week.
Nice. I like it. Should be noted as well, Antonio Brown has never caught a touchdown from anybody other than Ben Roethlisberger, which I thought was interesting. I saw that this week. What about the Patriots offensively against the Steelers team that got gashed by Jay Ajayi? You think they'll go heavy, leg blunt?
I think they'll probably come out throwing, but I think that it could turn into a blunt game easily, especially if the Steelers are not putting up any points against the Patriots defense because of Landry Jones, which I think is very much in play. You know, again, no Cam Hayward, no Ryan Shazier, and those are big issues for the Steelers' run defense. So LeGarrette Blount, you know, people wanted to bury him, I guess, after Brady came back for whatever reason. He scored a touchdown in both of the games. He's not going to be like David Johnson and Le'Veon Bell, but, I mean, I hope that you weren't expecting that in the first place. He's going to be a good bet for touchdowns on a weekly basis. Pretty much regardless of opponent, and this opponent doesn't look too tough. So LeGarrette Blount, good fantasy play. You know, Brady, ridiculous fantasy play. Gronk, awesome fantasy play. Martellus Bennett, he had the big game in week 5, and then Gronk had the big game in week 6, and Martellus Bennett still had 5 catches for 48. That's a useful stat line at the tight end position in fantasy. I think Martellus Bennett, you're starting him every week. Chris Hogan is going to be up and down. You know, he's going to have a good game here. He's going to have a bad game here. He's not getting a lot of targets. He's kind of reliant on big plays. He doesn't get as many easy catches as Martellus and Gronk, and so he's going to be a tough guy to predict week to week, Chris Hogan. And then Julian Edelman has been a huge disappointment so far, but the Steelers have just gotten smashed in the slot. Sean Davis, their rookie slot corner, has struggled, and Edelman is going to get going. I don't really have a whole lot of doubt about that, unless there's something that we don't know with the foot, but I don't think that there is. He looks fine to me. I expect a bounce back game for Julian Edelman against the Steelers.
Let's keep it rolling. Let's go to the night game on Sunday night, which is football night, Evan. It's the Seattle Seahawks at the Arizona Cardinals. Should be a good game. Are you buying? I mean, obviously, David Johnson's just incredible. Tell me about the other skill guys for the Cardinals against the Seahawks defense, which showed a little vulnerability during those 3 touchdown drives by the Falcons. It was more of a miscommunication than it was really guys getting beat, it felt like.
Yeah, this is honestly another game that I just haven't jumped into a whole lot yet. I do know just off the top of my head that Russell Wilson has a pretty good history against Arizona's defense, even though Arizona's defense is good. We know that C. Mike is getting the work, Christine Michael. We should see Baldwin against Tyrann Mathieu in the slot, and Tyrann Mathieu has not been great so far moving from safety to slot corner. Not afraid to start Baldwin. Jimmy Graham has just been awesome, and you're using him every week. Bruce Arians came out and said yesterday that the Cardinals are going to change their offense. They're not going to be that vertical bomb, deep strike, pass first attack that they were last year. And that's smart. I think Carson Palmer isn't the same guy that we saw last year. Bruce Arians even kind of openly talked about how he thought that Carson Palmer had lost arm strength, and then it kind of came back after the bye week. So you wonder, 2-3 games down the road, does the velocity start to go away again? And I guess one way that they can limit that is by putting him on pitch counts during practice and during games. I don't expect Carson Palmer to have a big game against Seattle. Didn't even have a big game against the Jets. Hasn't really had any big games this year. It's tough anytime that you take on Seattle, man. It's Jeremy Lane has been great at slot corner for them. That's a little bit of a concern for Larry Fitz. Michael Floyd is the Cardinals' 4th receiver. I know he caught a touchdown, but just not getting enough usage or playing time. John Brown was in such a good spot against the Jets on Monday night. Just the game just did not work out in his favor. I was driving back from that wedding, listening to that game on the radio initially, and I was just the way that the game played out, you kind of knew early that Palmer wasn't going to have a big game and John Brown wasn't going to have a big game. But, that's NFL football for you. But Yeah, I mean, I think you're feeling good about Russell Wilson and Jimmy Graham and Doug Baldwin and C. Mike and David Johnson, and you know, still Larry Fitzgerald. I mean, he's going to be a decent bet for a touchdown every time he suits up. But I don't know, these division games between Seattle and Arizona are fun. You know, sometimes we've seen them be really high scoring. We've seen them be super low scoring. So will just be a fun game to watch.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. As I am looking forward to Monday night, it's the Houston Texans and the Denver Broncos. I really want to see if the Broncos can bounce back from what's been going on with them the last couple weeks. And speaking of bouncing back, man, Osweiler was really bad in the first half of that game against the Colts, but he deserves a lot of credit. Now, Lamar Miller and the running game help, but he deserves a lot of credit for helping them get back in that thing and ultimately win. That was a huge win for them. But, yeah, man, Denver's already talking, Evan, about how they can't wait to go against him and stuff. Ouch.
they're going to crush him. They are going to crush him. I mean, this Broncos team, they've lost what? They've lost two straight. Their last one that they lost was in prime time. They're on like 11 days rest against a quarterback that they know, you know, all his strengths and weaknesses. Broncos defense is going to go off. I would fully expect. I don't know what Bill O'Brien is going to do. You know, probably try to run it against the Broncos, who have been a little bit disappointing with their run defense. But I don't see the Texans having offensive success by any means in this game. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins is just a prayer in fantasy. Will Fuller, you know, coming off the hamstring. I mean, I would not want to start Will Fuller in this spot. As much as I love Will Fuller, maybe some C.J. Fedorowicz, although he could easily get, you know, end up trying to help block Von Miller. I mean, it's just a disaster matchup for Houston. I know that the Broncos haven't looked the same in their last two, but man, they're gonna bring the pain on Monday night.
What about the Broncos offensively?
Yeah, so this running back, you know, I know, or Devontae Booker, actually his playing time didn't trend up. Against the Chargers, but he did get. He pretty much outplayed C.J. Anderson on fewer plays in terms of his per carry efficiency. He did have a late game blitz pickup that he blew, and then I don't think we saw him after that. But Kubiak came out and said this week that they want to get him more work, and. I mean, I would expect that to be a running back by committee between C.J. Anderson and Devontae Booker. You know, again, with the exception of that Cincinnati game, Trevor Siemian hasn't been useful in fantasy at all. And I don't really expect that to change against Houston. The Texans do have some critical injuries on the back end. They lost Kevin Johnson, stud second-year corner for the season. And both their other corners have been banged up as well. Okay, not great matchups for Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas. But you know, I don't know. I kind of see this as like a 17-3 sort of game.
Nice. Yeah, I can see that too. I don't see the Texans scoring very many points, that's for sure. I don't really see the Broncos, so I think that's a pretty good call by you. So I wrote down for sure Patriots as a defensive streamer, Kaepernick as a quarterback streamer. Any other defenses or quarterbacks that I missed that you thought were good streaming options?
I think that the Titans against the Colts are not a terrible one. The Colts just give up so many sacks. They've given up 24 sacks, league-high 24 sacks 23, I think, through six games. And the Titans, I know that they don't, we don't really think of them as a good defense, but they haven't been bad. And even last week, they had six sacks against Cody Kessler. So, I mean, they can get off the, get after the quarterback. Dick LeBeau is a creative dude. They've got Jarrell Casey. So if you're kind of desperate at defense, I think the Titans against the Colts make sense. Alex Smith at quarterback against the Saints. Joe Flacco against the Jets. Yeah, we mentioned Colin Kaepernick. I think that those streamers stand out. The Patriots against Landry Jones, of course, but I think you mentioned them.
Good stuff as usual this week, Evan. Much appreciated. Hopefully you guys are all following him already on Twitter, at Evan Silva. He, you know, I think the information that he retweets is really as valuable as anything. So make sure you're checking him out on Twitter, at Evan Silva. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL. You also should make sure to take advantage of our code FEAST over at DraftKings.com if you have not as of yet. It's really that simple. You know what DraftKings is by now. Daily fantasy. You pick your players, stand in the salary cap, get a chance to win. Hopefully by now you know there's a bunch of different contests you can do. 50-50 contests, you can do it with friends, you can do it with strangers, whatever. But the key is you can play for free to try to get your share of over $1 million in total prize this weekend if you use the code FEAST. So again, to play for free for your share of over $1 million in total prizes this weekend, go to DraftKings.com and use our special code FEAST. Eligibility restrictions may apply. See site for details. That'll do it for part two. We will be back next week. Good luck. I hope everybody does well. I'm officially stuffed. We just had a feast, a two-part platter feast. I'm stuffed. We're done.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Feast Podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, and the College Draft Podcast, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.
I did it. I finally did it. I got a new car. I've been talking to you guys about it for a while. I got a new car. I needed one. My other one died. I got a new Denali, and I used TrueCar because why wouldn't I? I've been telling you guys about TrueCar for months now, and it's just a better experience. I mean, you're able to lock in the savings with a dealer on the website. They've got a huge certified dealer network. So if you're not sure how it works, you just go to the TrueCar website or you use the TrueCar app, and they've got this bell curve. It's a pricing curve that shows you exactly what that vehicle you want is going for in your local market. And then you can actually online connect with a TrueCar local certified dealer of your choosing, and you lock in the savings off the MSRP. You just go in, you hand them the certificate that you printed out off your computer, and boom, you're good to go. Over 2 million cars have been sold to TrueCar users by the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network. So when you're ready to buy a new or used car, visit TrueCar.com or download the TrueCar app to enjoy a better car buying experience. Some features not available in all states.